The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church.
Welcome to Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
I was walking down the avenue one bright and sunny day when the police came and got me and they carried me away. Yeah, they took me and they booked me as a Christian through and through. When the judge looked down at me, he said, "This can't be true.
You've been charged with being Christian, but we cannot so convict. There's not enough hard evidence to make the charges stick. Though they say you've been a true believer, no proof do I see.
You've been charged with being Christian, but we'll have to set you free."
There's no record of you praying when you lay you down to bed. You don't go to church on Sunday, that old magistrate said. And you break the Ten Commandments, disregard the golden rule. I've seen my share of Christians, but not a single one like you.
You've been charged with being Christian, but we cannot so convict. There's not enough hard evidence to make the charges stick. Though they say you've been a true believer, no proof do I see.
You've been
charged with being Christian, but we'll have to set you free.
When I woke up from my dream and perspiration on my face, I saw the truth as clearly as the words upon a slate. And I pledged my life to Jesus the remainder of my years. But the words I heard within that dream still ringing in my ears.
You've been charged with being Christian, but we cannot so convict. There's not enough hard evidence to make the charges stick. Though they say you've been a true believer, no proof do I see.
You've been charged with being Christian, but we'll have to set you free.
You've been charged with being Christian, but we'll have to set you free.
Our text is going to be found in James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, if you got a Bible, if you want to turn to that. Yeah, I'll get there in a second. That song you just heard was titled, Charged with Being Christian. And the guy said he was walking down the street, and he said the police come up, and they took him and they booked him as a Christian through and through. When the judge looked down at me, he said, "This can't be true. You've been charged with being Christian, but we cannot so convict. There's not enough hard evidence to make the charges stick." The question this morning is, if you were arrested like that gentleman and you was thrown in jail, would the judge be able to convict you? Would there be enough evidence to convict you as being Christian? Jesus' brother, James, wrote this lovely letter right behind Hebrews. And he wrote this letter, and in it, he gives us evidence that shows that we're not Christian. He gives us evidence that we are Christian. At the very beginning, what is a sentence for claiming to be Christian but acting otherwise? James writes, chapter 3, verse 1, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." Now, I know he's speaking about me standing up here today talking to you. He's talking to people who lead Bible studies and small groups and that type of thing. There is the truth and there's not the truth. And if you or stand up here claiming to be a teacher, you should make sure what you're saying is true. And so that's where that sense is. But I'm not going to let the rest of y'all out. I think if you wear the moniker of Christian, are we not teachers to those who are not Christian? I mean, really, I know he's talking to the guys with initials behind, and ladies with initials behind their names, but that, it's all of us are included in that. We will be judged. It also, there's some several versions of the Bible says, will we punish more severely if we don't teach and preach what is said in this word? He says in verse 2, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man and able to bridle his whole body. Thank goodness for that. Thank goodness for that verse 2 after verse 1, huh? Because we all stumble. We all make mistakes. But he says here, he gives a description of one who does not stumble in what he says. He says he is a perfect man. Now, in the Greek, that word teleos does mean perfect. But in the sense and in the syntax of this verse, it means that you are fully developed in a moral sense. You are so close to Jesus in the way you act and the way you talk that the Holy Spirit controls what you actually say. And he says that if you are that way, if you are so close to Jesus in that way, not that any of us are going to be perfect like Jesus, obviously, but when you get that close, you are able to bridle your whole body. And that word bridle means to keep your body in check. Keep your body in check. It's like controlling your speech is actually an act of worship. It's the self-control of controlling your speech is necessary to have the Christian, to live out the Christian ethic. Let's put it this way. Christians should practice what they, and they should preach what they practice. But we all stumble. I recently didn't stumble, I fell. I stepped off the cliff. I had a gentleman come up to me and said that there was a flaw in my character from what I had just done. And he was describing the difference of being a cowboy and something else. And I said, well, and this, I said, I'm not a cowboy. I'm country. But at the time, the way I said it was a little snarky. Yeah. Well, I'm being truthful here. He walked away. And that relationship is broken. He was right, you know. What he was trying to tell me, he was right. I was wrong. And I knew that. But I tried to make a little funny quip, and it caused a break in a relationship. My mentor and a good friend of mine, in his new book, I'm going to do a shameless plug, J.K. Jones's new book just published out, A Soul's House, says this in the book, and I quote, Dr. Jones, the truth is that all of us, and I include myself in this, are often sloppy with what we say and how we say it, end quote, J.K. Jones. And James says that sometimes we are punished more severely, that we are judged with greater strictness because of what we say. Verse 3 of our text, James says, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Keeping a tight rein. We could take a small metal device and put it underneath a horse's tongue, and we can move an animal that is 4, 5, 6 times, I don't know how many times stronger than a human. We can make it go right. We can make it go left. We can make it go forward and backward just by a small piece in their mouth. And it keeps a tight rein on them. James, in the first chapter of this book, says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart, and this person's religion is worthless. Hey, we have to control our tongue. James goes on now to describe something small trolling something bigger. He says in verse 4, look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. The rudder, in Greek, it's steering paddle. Steering paddle. And the very small is in the sense of being the smallest in a specific class. Now, I don't care the size of the ship, but if you could turn the ship over and you see the size of the ship and compare the size of the rudder to the ship, the rudder is substantially smaller by many degrees than the ship. And yet that small little steering paddle can point the bow of the ship anywhere the pilot so desires. Turn to verse 5. James talks about our steering paddle. So also is the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. Now, I don't know about you all, but my tongue in my mouth has boasted a lot. I have said, I can do this. I'm going to do this. Or I have done that. And when I did this, this happened. And that, knowing full well that I have lied and that boast, there's no way I can do what I just said. But my little steering paddle goes ahead and says it. We have a saying back where I'm from. I'm going to clean it up a little bit. It says, don't let your alligator mouth overload your tadpole backside. And I've let my steering paddle overload my backside many times. And there's a consequence for that. There is a consequence for that. He says in verse 5, at the end of verse 5, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. See that little steering paddle? It's just a small spark. I live back in Illinois. We had fires. Not out here like you do in the Southwest out here when I moved out here. It just all of a sudden, it's not always because of some nefarious reason somebody starts a fire. Sometimes it's just by somebody that smokes and flicks out a cigarette, or maybe somebody drops a match, or I even think, and I have no way of proving this, but that a piece of broken glass on the side of the road, as hot as the sun is out here, that the sun in the summer going through that piece of glass, magnifying it, if there's a stick or a piece of a dry brush there, that the sun itself going through that magnifying glass can start a little spark, and the next thing you know, the valley's on fire. Large boast, small steering paddle.
This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of SCW Christian Church. To help keep this programming on the air, please go to scwcc.org or mail your contributions to SCWCC, 2803 North 151st Avenue, Sun City West, Arizona, 85375.
Let's get to 6. Verse 6 says about our steering paddle. And my Bible says tongue here. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. 3 words here I want to talk about. Set. The word set means it sets in motion. It starts in motion. You will remember in the book of Luke, it says that Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. And off he went, bam, as hard as he could go to the cross, by the way. It sets in motion. The steering paddle sets in motion the way that we're going to go. And the word staining, in the lexicon it says to spot, to stain. It pollutes. The way you said in your speech, the way you're going, it pollutes, it can stain, it can blot. And the whole, it says with the course of life, That is the human experience. So if we put them all together, we set ourselves by the steering paddle to pollute our whole experience in life. Not just not in life, but it's certainly in that instance of what you just said. Well, halfway through the song, he said, there's no record of you praying when you lay down to bed. You don't go to church on Sunday, that old magistrator said. You break the Ten Commandments, disregard the golden rule. I've seen a share of Christians. Now, this is one that hurts. But I've never seen one like you. Me. You. There is evidence that we are not Christian by this steering paddle. Verse 7. James says, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. We've all been, I don't know if everybody's been to SeaWorld, but I've been to SeaWorld. I've been to zoos. We see what mankind can do with large animals. You see the whale come up and kiss the trainer on the cheek. In St. Louis, at the zoo there at St. Louis, it's been a long time since I've been in it, but I remember going to the elephant cage or the elephant pen, and the elephants, they set up bowling pins, and the elephants were bowling. I've never been to Africa, but I don't think elephants bowl. And it says here that we have tamed all that. That word tamed means we have reduced from an uncontrolled to a controlled state. We can do that with Lord. We can teach an elephant to bowl. But James says, but no human being can tame the tongue. He goes on to say, it is, speaking of the tongue, it is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. That restless is unstable, full of deadly poison. And the Greek tells us that that is a death-dealing poison. Death-dealing poison. James isn't the first one to write about that poison. The psalmist and the Psalter wrote in Psalm 58, the wicked are estranged from birth. They go astray from birth. Speaking lies. They have venom like the venom of a serpent, like a deaf adder that stops its ear. The psalmist is saying that we know we spew out venom, and yet we have the ability to stick our fingers in our ear and say, I didn't say that, I didn't say that, the whole time that we're saying it. Also in Psalm 140, he said they made their tongues sharp as serpents, and under their lips is the venom of asps. Paul wrote in Romans 3, the throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. We spew out venom. We got another saying back in where I'm from. You kiss your mother with them lips? Think about that. It's what he's saying right here. We spew out things that we wouldn't say to our mother or our sister or our brother. We just spew it out. And it's deadly poison. It can be deadly poison if there was evidence. See, this is where I get confused, because I guess it's the defense that would say, no, he's, well, I don't know, the prosecution, whatever it is, there's evidence that we're not Christian by the way we act right here. Verse 9, he says, with it, our steering paddle, we bless our Lord and Father. And that's why we're here this morning, aren't we? We sing songs. We came here on Sunday morning to worship God our Father, and we should. That's what we're made for. By the way, I might add a caveat to that. Just not an hour on Sunday morning. Let's try and do that every day of the week. Every breathing moment that you're alive, our steering paddle should be used to glorify the God who, creator of the world, who controls our life, who has our souls in his hand. That is what we're made for. That's what, and James says we do that, but if you just read a little bit farther. And with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Can I take you back to Genesis where God said, let us make man in our image? That doesn't, it doesn't say here in my text, I don't know what Bible you're reading from, but it doesn't say that the likeness of God, that's only people that show up at Sun City West Christian Church at 8 o'clock service, or the next service, or not down at the Baptist church on the other side of town, or the Catholic church, or the Episcopalian church. No, it says all people. When God said make him in our image, that is every human on the face of the earth. And sometimes we come in here on a Sunday morning and we praise and thank you, Jesus, and we put the offering in a plate and we go home, and on the way somebody cuts us off and we say something we shouldn't say. Or worse, we say it so in a situation where they can hear what we say. Christian and non-Christian alike, we're not to curse God's creation. Well, at the end of the song, this is where we get the good part, the happy part. The guy's just having a dream, you see, because it said, when I woke up from my dreaming, this perspiration was on my face. I saw the truth as clearly as the words upon a slate, and I placed my life to Jesus the remainder of my years. But the words I heard within that dream were still ringing in my ears. If that old, he called him the old magistrate in the second stanza. And if you want to get a lecture from James, our old magistrate, he says, starting in verse 10, from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. But we can wake up from our dreams, folks. Brothers and sisters, we can wake up from the dream that we're in, that we close our ears to the venom that we spit out. We have time. You know how I know we still have time? Because you're looking at me. And I'm looking at you. And if we're still standing upright, God ain't done with us yet. And he can change us. James says, does a spring pour... You'd think, well, you know, Moses stuttered too. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. But we can change. We can put our lives as this man said in the song. We can wake up from our dream, and from this moment right now, we can start forward and placing the remainder of our life in the hand of the Holy Spirit and ask him to change us from the inside out, that we would glorify God in everything we say, and those who doesn't know Jesus would come to know him. I'll finish with a quote from my friend again. J.K. said in that new book, and I quote, I believe that a holy habit, I'll stop here. J.K. says a holy habit is when you turn to something that you find in the Bible, praying and meditation and taking the sacraments. He says, I believe that a holy habit can defeat an unholy habit. In my early years, were blanketed with a propensity towards swearing, especially when I was angry at someone or something. Only as I became a Christ follower and begin to memorize scripture, did my tendency for cursing in angry moments come under the control of the Holy Spirit. He used the word in my heart to control the emotions that surfaced in my mouth. God the Spirit, as the years have passed since my conversion, has cleaned up my vocabulary by replacing it with the language of the scriptures, end quote. We still got time. This is the first week of the new year. And I know last Sunday night there was this thing that everybody does. It's called resolution. I said I wouldn't forget that. And you know, I have long heard, and I've made them before. I'm not going to break any this year. I didn't make any. But it usually takes just about as long to break a resolution as it does to say one. So I'm not going to ask us to make a resolution here today. I'm asking you all to make a commitment. Make a commitment to the Holy Spirit and to Jesus. That I know that, we say to yourself, we know that we stumble, but we know how big and how great a God we have that we serve.
This has been Living Strong. Join them at Sun City West Christian Church. They offer a variety of Sunday morning worship services. The 8 a.m. is a blend of new and classic worship songs. The 9:30 a.m. service includes more classical Christian hymns that many were raised on. The newest 11 a.m. service is a bit more contemporary. It's called Live. Live offers new children's programs and the opportunity for you to be included in the band and music of the ministry. Sun City West Christian Church, located at 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Again, that's 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Head on over to scwcc.org to see what Sun City West Christian Church is all about. That's scwcc.org. Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
The preceding program was sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.